Hey, good morning, Edge Church. How's everybody doing today? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. It's great to see you. And what a wonderful way to celebrate Christmas, to be in God's house and to be worshiping Him. Man, I just can't think of anything any better than that. We've been in a series over the last few weeks called Whoville. We've been talking about who you're serving and who are you encouraging? Today we're talking about who you're loving. Who you're loving. And God wants us to be people that love others. Jesus told the disciples in John 13, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Why would Jesus make this command to the disciples? Why would Jesus place such a significance and such an importance on love? You know, sometimes when people think about the teaching and ministry of Jesus, they think about, well, I got to follow all these commands. And certainly there are commands. But, you know, really, when you read the life and the ministry of Jesus, his life was about love from the beginning to the end. Everywhere we look, Jesus' teaching, his miracles, his life, his birth, his death, his resurrection, we see love all the way through his life. And Jesus said to the disciples, love one another. Why is love so important? Why is love so significant? Why would Jesus make this command? You know, love has such a profound effect on us. It has a profound effect on us psychologically. You know, psychologists tell us that when we feel love, that we have a little swagger, you know, in our step. We have more confidence. You know, we feel better about the world. We're not so negative. People who have love overcome adversity with greater strength and vitality. It has a massive effect on the way that we think. And doctors tell us that love has an amazing effect even on our physical body. You know, our molecular structure is strengthened when we feel love. It also releases certain chemicals and hormones in the body, which keep the skin looking soft, which prevents wrinkles. Now, how cool is that, right? That's pretty cool. When we feel love, it also releases endorphins in the body that not only makes us look younger, but also makes us feel younger. Can somebody say amen? Love is a good thing. It affects our minds and our bodies and also our spirits. And spiritually, when we understand the love of God, we see how God and humanity are reconciled. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. So love is important for a myriad of reasons, but Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. In other words, love should be reciprocal. I'm giving love and I'm receiving love. And it also should be the default mode of the Christian life. It ought to be just our normal way of living. It ought to be the way that we look and the way that we think and the way that we act should be filled with love. But unfortunately, in our culture, when we talk about love, we talk about love. You know, love has so many other meanings, doesn't it? When Jesus talked about love, he talked about a selfless devotion love, one that esteems other people more than ourselves, one that is sacrificial, one that is placing a lower emphasis on ourselves and more on others. That was the love Jesus talked about. Well, when we think about love in our culture, it has a whole connotation of meanings. If you go to Barnes & Noble and you look in the relationship sections and you look at books about love, it has to do with sexuality, doesn't it? Almost always. If you look at the magazine section, it's all about sexuality when it's about love. When you listen to pop music, when it's talking about love, it's talking about other things. But listen, Jesus spoke about love in a much, much different context. One that was sacrificial, selfless, one that was not just based on feelings or emotions, but stuff that had some depth to it, some real, real depth. Elevating other people's interests beyond ourselves. And in the story of the Grinch, we see this illustrated. I love the scene when Jim Carrey falls on the ground, you know, as the Grinch and his heart starts to grow. It looks like he's having a heart attack. In a sense, he kind of was. His heart was two sizes too small. Remember, he couldn't feel anything and didn't care about anybody else. He was just full of negativity and hatred and anger and hostility. The Grinch even had bad breath, man. I mean, things were not going good for the Grinch. But when he found the love of Cindy Lou Who, the little blonde-headed girl who loved him, it began to enlarge his heart, began to change him. And he has that great line, "Now I can begin to feel," you know. Before, he was just this numb, lifeless being. And his life was changed by the power of love. And you know, God wants to change your life by the power of love, because really the beginning of understanding love is to understand God's love for you. And when we understand God's love for us, the most natural expression of that is to love others. And that's what Jesus was telling the disciples in John 13. Love one another as I have first loved you. The real meaning of Christmas can't be found in a store. The real meaning of Christmas is so much more. Dr. Seuss has a great line. And Christmas is about love. We can't talk about Christmas without talking about love. And we see this in the fourth chapter of the book of 1 John. This is one of the great love chapters of the Bible. It tells us so many rich principles and concepts about the love that God has for you and for me. And you know, he begins by saying that God's love is personal. God's love is personal. God's love is not just universal. God doesn't love us just in big crowds of people, but God loves you personally, man. God loves you specifically. God loves you for who you are. And God made you a certain way, a unique way. And God knew all that and did all of that. And he loves every person uniquely and personally. Notice in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." And verse 10 says, "This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So God has loved us. Love is the lifestyle of the Christ follower. It's kind of the normal thing that we do. And you know, he speaks here of, in verse 7, "Let everyone who loves, that love is from God, and everyone who's been born of God knows God." In other words, when you're God's child, you begin to feel God's love. We enter into to God's family by faith in Jesus Christ, and we begin to act like the spiritual father. Now, as I get a little bit older, I see more of my parents coming out of me. That's a little creepy sometimes. Don't like to totally admit that. My kids were eating Christmas cookies yesterday that were getting crumbs all over the floor. And I said, "Kids, go sit at the table and lean over your plate. You're making a mess." And then I looked at myself and I thought, that sounds just like my mom. I haven't heard that in years. It just came out of me, you know? I was like, whoa! We act a lot more like our parents than we want to admit, don't we? It just comes out sometimes. I was laughing. Last week, we showed a promotional video for all of our Christmas services. My five-year-old Zane was telling the Christmas story, and if you were here, you saw it. But he was talking with his hands, and he was like really dramatic, and he was like, "Well, you know, Jesus this," and then he was singing and all this. It was really expressive, and I was like, gosh, that's kind of weird, you know? I was like, Zane, tone it down a little bit, you know? And I was telling my staff this on Tuesday, and they said, "But Ryan, when we saw Zane doing that, we saw you." And then they showed this picture of me speaking, you know? They're like, "Zane's just doing what his dad does." And I was like, oh, man, that's kind of cool then, you know? I mean, maybe that's working for him. I don't know. You know, when we come to know the Heavenly Father and we begin to walk with him and to know him, the characteristics of his life begin to be emanated through our own experience, and it is seen most specifically in love. If we say we know God, then love should be the fruit of our lives, right? Like Father, like Son. And I love this word in verse 8. It says, "Whoever does not love does not know God." And that word know is a word that means intimate knowledge. Like, not like casual knowledge, not like I read an article about you or heard about you or saw you on a TV program, but intimate knowledge. You know, like Gina and I have been married for 15 years. I know a lot of inside information on Gina. She knows a lot of inside information on me. We know each other in so many ways. And she knows things about me probably nobody else on the planet knows. And you know, one of my little Christmas secrets, and I've never told anybody this besides Gina until this morning. I'm having a little confession today. But one of the things I love to do at Christmas, I love to buy really expensive presents that are like 80% off. And then I love to peel off the red sale tag and then just kind of happen to leave the other tag in there so it looks really, really expensive and then wrap it up. I'm telling you, my family, they have been feeling the heat the last few years. They're like, that Ryan is spending so much money on us, we've got to buy him something more expensive, you know? He always spends more money on us. And we don't have a lot of self-control at the Heller household. We've already opened all of our presents, you know? Santa Claus came early to our house. We put in a special request. It was, thank God he came earlier. It was good. But Gina opened up these earrings from Macy's, and she was like, when she saw this price tag, like her face lit up. She was like, oh my goodness, you know? And then she goes, oh, but he probably, you know. And I was like, yeah, I did. But they're still nice earrings. Those are very nice, you know? Well, there's things that God knows about us, and there's things that we know about God when we become his child. And God wants us to know him intimately. He wants us to know the details. He knows the details of our lives because he loves us. And so we know God, and when we really know God with this kind of knowledge, then love just pours out of our lives. That just emanates from who we are. We're all about it. We love others. Notice it says in verse 9, that Jesus is the one and only Son. Another translation says the only begotten. But I like the NIV. It says the one and only. He's unique. There is no one like Jesus. No one in all of history has ever been the same as Jesus. Nobody in the future will ever be equal to Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. And by the way, God gave us his very first and his best. Man, God did not send leftovers to come and redeem us. Thank goodness. God sent all that he had, the very first and best, his one and only Son, and there is no one like Jesus. That's why the book of Acts says, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's no other name that is equal to the name of Jesus. And that's what we celebrate during this Christmas season. That's why the birth of this baby at Bethlehem is so significant and so special, is because it's changed all of history. It's changed thousands and millions of lives. We celebrate the one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that was sent to the earth. And in doing so, he showed us his love. This is how God showed his love among us, verse 9 says, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we could live through him. Isn't that beautiful? God didn't just say, I love you guys, good luck. God demonstrated it. God showed it. God illustrated it. He didn't just say he loved us. He sent Jesus to be born. And that was the greatest expression of love. You may wonder, how can I know that God loves me? Because he sent Jesus. And that's the supreme example of love. Verse 10 goes on and it says that this Jesus that was the expression of love became an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What is that about? The atoning sacrifice. Humanity is over here. We do our own deal. The Bible calls that sin. God, on the other hand, is over here. God is perfect. How could humanity and God be reconciled? There's a conflict. There's a problem. The only way was for God to send Jesus to stand in the middle, to become the atoning sacrifice, to take the place of, to stand in the middle of, to bring humanity and God together. Atoning sacrifice. God loved us. And God loved us so much that he reached out to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, who qualifies for this kind of love? You know, sometimes we think about this kind of love and we think, wow, I don't know if I deserve that. Right? Don't know if I kind of measure up. But the love of God is so beautiful. It takes us where we are. See, sometimes we think we have to clean our act up before God will love us. God takes us where we are, but listen, he never leaves us there. When we come to know Christ, we start here, but there's always a spiritual journey. There's always progress. There's always life change. There's always growth. There's always maturity. So God loves us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us there. And he leads us and he guides us along the way. We say in our church, come as you are, but don't stay that way. That's what we say. That's the gospel. That's the gospel message. And you won't find another religion that teaches that God is love. Did you know that that really is a unique Christian idea? In Islam, God has many names, but none of them are love. Most Muslims are afraid of God, truth be known. In many other religions, God or the gods do mean and evil things to each other and to humanity and to people. It's messed up. Listen, the Christian faith is the faith of love. Only in the Christian faith can God be known personally and through love. It sets everything apart. And so that's why Jesus coming to earth was so significant. God's love is personal, and because it is personal, it is contagious. It is a contagious love. Listen, when this love begins to infuse your life, people will look at your life so much differently. People will say, man, what is going on with her? What's inside of him? God's love is contagious. It's contagious. We live in such a mean and competitive world that the love of Jesus properly displayed is quite attractive. And followers of Jesus should stand out. Man, if the love of Christ is in your life, in our culture, you're going to stand out. You're going to be different. When you begin to esteem others better than yourself, you're going to stand out. People are going to look at you. When you have peace in your life, and you have faith, and you have confidence in the Lord, you're going to stand out. You're going to be different. And people are going to be drawn to you. People are going to think, man, I wish I had what they have. It is contagious. Look at verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete. No one has ever seen God physically. But what we can see is the love of God in the hearts of other people. So in essence, you can see God. How do I see God? You see God in the love of others. When you see love, you see the love of God. And God reveals himself through the contagious spirit of his followers. When we love according to the scripture, people see the love. We had a guy come to our church a year or two ago. He was an atheist. He came every Sunday. That's interesting when atheists come to church every Sunday, you know. He comes more than the Christians come. I think his wife threatened him, actually. But he came to church every Sunday. He had gone to another church for a while, actually for a number of years. And then he was still an atheist. He was a skeptic. He came to the edge. He liked what was going on here. One day, he decided to commit his life to Christ at the end of a service. I was shocked. Wow. It's pretty cool. You know what I thought? I thought, man, I want to ask him what was going on. So I asked him, hey, man, why did you decide to be a follower of Christ? I mean, you've been coming to church for years, and, you know, what was the deal? And I thought that he might say something like, well, I was able to resolve evolutionism and creationism, or, you know, I really understood the divine origins of the Bible. I thought he was going to say something like that. You know, that's not what he said at all. What he said was, I saw the love of the people at the Edge Church, and it opened my heart to the gospel message. Is that not incredible? You see, sometimes I think that we have it all wrong. We think that we're going to change our community and change our families and change whatever by more preaching and teaching, although that has a place. By more good deeds, that has a place too. But how much more profound and powerful is the power of love? You see, I think really the antidote to so many of our societal and cultural problems and our relational problems is found in love. When we begin to love the way that Jesus Christ loved us, then it begins to change everything around us. Now, this is a big responsibility, isn't it? I mean, to display the love of God. Wow, that's significant. It's important. But what a great opportunity as well to do that. And you may think, well, Ryan, how can I begin to show this love? Because I don't always feel loving. I don't always want to love people. I mean, we all have some people in our life that we would much rather smack than love, right? So how do I begin to love the hard people in life? How do I love when I don't feel like loving? You know, what do I do? And notice John goes on in his gospel, in his epistle here, in 1 John 4, and he said in verse 13, "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. It comes by the Spirit," verse 13 says. You see, the Spirit of God gives you the capacity to love others that you don't have of yourself. In fact, being a loving person is impossible. It's impossible apart from the work of the Spirit of God. So to really love others, we need a divine infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen, I am so glad that God did not just say, be loving, and then leave us no means to accomplish the task, right? God has given us the power. God has given us the resources. God has given us the opportunity. What we need to do is to let the Holy Spirit give us the capacity and the desire to do what we cannot do by ourselves. How do we get this kind of love? We acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And maybe today you need a love infusion and you want to open your heart to Jesus Christ. I tell you, I can't think of a greater season of the year to open your life to Jesus Christ than the Christmas season today. You see, because God wants to bring love into your heart. And maybe you've been trying and you've been thinking, you know, you may even leave this service today and say, the takeaway today is I just need to try harder. I just need to be more loving. But you know what? If that's all that you left with, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be disappointed because you're trying to do it by yourself. And it's something that the Spirit of God has to work in and through you to do. It's like when I was a little kid. I saw a cartoon about a kid that learned to fly. And I decided as a young boy that I was going to fly. And I walked out into the backyard. I lifted my arms to the heavens. I squinted. I strained. I did everything that I could do to try and lift myself up. But ultimately, I just kept coming back down. I could not fly. Why? Because it was impossible. And I had a great ambition. And I had a lot of passion. And I had a lot of desire, but what I was trying to do was impossible. I wonder how many of us today have been trying to be a better person, trying to be more loving, but you've been doing an impossible task because you haven't had God inside of your life. You haven't had Christ in your heart. And this Christmas season, you realize that it's not about what you can do, but it's about what God can do in and through you. And you'd like to open your life and open your heart to Him today. I want to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. You see, when the Spirit of God is in your life, your home will be a happier place. Your office will be a better place. Your neighborhood, your community will be a much more desirable place. Everywhere we go and everything that we do will have a totally different perspective if we learn to love God and to love others just as He has loved us. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and to be born in a manger 2,000 years ago, to later die on a cross and raise from the grave. What an awesome, awesome gift that you have given to us, Lord. And there are those of us this morning that really need to open our hearts to you and invite you to come in and to make us a new person, to give us new desires, to give us spiritual appetites, Lord, that we've never known and had before, especially in the area of love. And today we want to do that. I want to lead you in a word of prayer today. If you want to pray and open your heart to Jesus Christ for the very first time, would you pray with me while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and nobody's moving around just for a moment? Just say, Lord, please come into my heart. Please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and make me a brand new person. Lord, come into my heart. Forgive my sins and make me a brand new person. And now, Lord, help me to walk with you each day. And while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, if you just prayed that prayer with me this morning, would you just slip your hand up wherever you are? And I just want to thank God. Okay, right here, thank you. Right here in the back, yes, thank you. A couple of people in the back. Anybody else? Yeah. Amen, amen. God, thank you today for giving us the strength to come to follow you with all of our hearts. We love you. We give you thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. Well, we also want to celebrate the season of Christmas with the Lord's table and Holy Communion. We're going to take these elements in just a minute, remembering the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But before we come and take of these elements, I want to just give us just a short moment to pray, maybe a time just to search our own hearts, to confess any sins, and just to prepare ourselves to come and take of these very, very special things, the body and the blood of Christ. Let's just bow for a moment of personal and private prayer, and we'll come back and pass the elements in just a moment.
Search my heart and search my soul. There's nothing else that I want more. Shine your light and show your face in my life, Lord, have your way. So with all my heart and all my soul, with all I am, Lord, I will follow you.
The story of Christmas would be incomplete without understanding that we don't just celebrate the birth of Christ, but we also celebrate his death and resurrection. And Jesus asked the disciples and has asked us to remember his incredible sacrifice on the cross by the taking of this bread and of this blood, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, these sacred elements. We will pass these in just a moment. We'll take them all together. If you'll wait just a moment after it's passed. But the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, and do so in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.'" God, thank you for the body of Christ that was broken for our salvation and our sins. We consider it a privilege to come and take of these elements today and to remember all that you have done for us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.